Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm in Pittsburgh. There's my boss, Jay Posner. He is in San Diego, holding down the fort where I understand a lot of people were very excited, Jay, and we will talk about that. I want to tell you what we are going to cover here in the podcast. We're going to cover Fernando Tatis Jr., when he might return, and the rotation equation, how they are going to line up this rotation with who's coming back, who's probably out, and how they want to line it up to face the Dodgers this weekend. Padres are about to embark on a four-game series. Yes, lost my train of thought 30 seconds in. But I was up about 6 hours ago in Texas, and now I'm in Pittsburgh. I have an excuse. Haven't taken my Adderall or had coffee yet. The Padres are about to play four games against another bad team. They swept the Rangers, and something gigantic happened, something monumental, something that a lot of people thought might never happen. 8,206 games into the Padres being a thing, and Jay is holding it up right now. Excellent job by our staff on the desk, by Jay and his crew. Yes, a no-no. Joe Musgrove, first no-hitter in Padres history. Jay, what were you doing when that was happening?
I was stressing out over what we were going to do and how we were going to make things work. And, you know, we've been in this position before. I was at the ballpark when Chris Young went into the ninth inning. I was at the park when Despondier went in, had two outs in the eighth inning. I think you were covering the team maybe when Tyson Ross got into the eighth inning, and I was, you know, in the same boat. And basically I told the people in the office, if he gets through eight innings, then we'll flip stuff. Because actually what we had was the Padres were just going to be across the top of the page, and then we were going to have Masters coverage was going to be what we call our centerpiece. When he got through eight innings, it was okay, now we'll switch it. And guys inside did a great job working on that. And otherwise, I mean, I was basically just watching the game like so many others were, other than I had my laptop out and was waiting for whatever was going to happen to happen. You were going to send me a story, we were going to get it online. But, you know, it's funny. I went into the ninth and I my wife and I were watching and I said, it's not going to happen, is it? I mean, it was just like so many. You just never feel like it's going to happen because it hasn't. That first ball was hit in the ninth inning and I thought, oh, no, that's a hit. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the shift, the dreaded shift, it would have been a hit.
Right at Jay Cronenworth. Yep.
Right at Jay Cronenworth, who would not have been standing there if they weren't shifting. After that, okay, now you're kind of thinking this is going to happen. And it was pretty exciting. I mean, I obviously always dreamed of being at the park for one of these, and I've watched them on TV before, but this was different. Something that, you know, none of us who have been around for as long as we've been around have ever seen. And, you know, we always say, well, we're not fans, but we're baseball fans. And seeing something like that is pretty cool. And I'm glad we got to watch it and glad we got to do a good job for people that were interested in the newspaper and the website. We had a bunch of follow-up stories on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, everybody pitched in and did a great job. But what a moment for the Padres and man, Joe Musgrove. You know, you talk about storybook. I think you even mentioned in your story. It doesn't get any better than that. So, what was it like being in the ballpark?
You know, it was neat. And I'll tell you that I was calm and I really did think he was going to do it. Now I have to prepare and write like two different stories and it gets a little hectic, but for some reason, and obviously I've been on thousands of deadlines, so that makes it a little easier, but, and this darn team never wins, you know, or rarely wins by more than a run or two. And so you're constantly juggling, but I just had a feeling he was dealing. The Rangers are an aggressive team and it's funny that they acknowledged it afterward. It felt to me like Padres players could not wait to get back out on the field and get three more outs for about the last four innings. They are the ones down there and they could see he was dealing, right? Uh-huh. Like Joe Musgrove has great stuff. And they were like, afterward, that was as good as, you know, we've seen him, as good as you're going to see a pitcher for most of the night. And they felt it. So, yeah. And you know what was neat? And this happens, obviously. it's a big crowd for you know, 27,000 or something like that, more than you're going to have anywhere else at this point in our recovery. And it was probably about the eighth inning that they started to turn. And certainly in the ninth inning, they were cheering for Joe Musgrove. And there were a number, if not 1,000, then several hundred Padres fans in attendance. And you can tell now because they wear brown.
Right. I was going to say that's another reason to wear brown, is because they stand out now as opposed to wearing the blue that everybody wears. I found it interesting when you had said, and you had written this earlier, and when you just said it, that the team couldn't wait to get back out there, because watching on TV, I even said a couple times, man, somebody should take a pitch here and give Musgrove a chance to rest a little bit. I think there was one inning, it felt like it was about six pitches. And he was right back out there again. Yep. But maybe that was a good thing.
He said so.
Well, especially since he apparently said later that he really had to pee during the game. So no wonder he wanted to get back out there so quickly.
I couldn't believe that. I know the no-no is a big deal, but to go like 2 hours, man. He didn't just say he had to go. He said he had to go really bad, like in the fourth. So I thought that was pretty good. It's the Rangers, right? He didn't no-hit the Astros, but not that that takes anything away from it. Right. But he knew what he could do. And certainly Victor Caratini, who's now caught the last two no-hitters in the major leagues with the Cubs last year, Alec Mills in September, they knew what to do. And he said that Victor Caratini felt it, like in the fifth. He starts to say, okay, we got the top of the order coming up. This is what we're going to do with them. You get through them. Then you got three or four, five, six. And it didn't work out like that because he hit Joey Gallo in the fourth. So he had one batter off from the perfect game. But like Victor Caratini, as managers, catchers, pitching coaches, pitchers do, is looking down the road. And they didn't mention no hitter, but like, we've got this. You are locked in, and this is what we're going to do each inning. So, and Joe Musgrove's a gamer, man. Six pitches, no problem. Honestly, I don't know if he's going to develop into what the Padres think he is, which is a potential ace, but he's got that mentality. Like, right. And so it's almost like, hey, well, whatever, he was going to do it. And what's, I think one of the most impressive things is how he has embraced this coming back to San Diego. Mm-hmm. Like, no, so many guys would either, you know, convince themselves it wasn't important, or would lie to all of us and tell us it wasn't important.
Right.
And Joe Musgrove does it. A true fan, not just a kid who grew up here. He and his dad loved the Padres, and he loved Jake Peavy, and he has so many memories, and he's embraced that from the start. And then to say things like, it felt like it was meant to be and all that. I mean, you just kind of, I don't know, you got to love that. It really was neat.
Well, yeah. And I think the way that people here have longed to see this for so long, and people here are very protective, is not the right word, but sort of protective, I guess, is the word, but also proud of people who come from San Diego and make something really good of themselves, and to do it for his team. And then to see what happened, you know, the next day at the family coffee stand out there in Alpine, and Annie Halbrun did a great job going out there. And, you know, Mark Grant showed up while she was there and got some pictures and video, wrote a really great story for us. But you could just tell how proud people were of that. And I think the fact that Musgrove has embraced San Diego and his family is all still here. And, you know, her story mentioned the family was all sitting in the same spots in the same house that they sit for all of his games. And I can only imagine what it was like, you know, for them to watch that. And I know they said that one of their neighbors, who had no idea what was happening, came over afterwards and was like, are you guys okay? Is there, you know,
how about the guys who showed up at the door with beers?
Right. Yeah. But I think that's all just part of it. And that's what makes this such a cool story. I mean, I think a no hitter by anyone would have been great. I mean, people have waited for so long. If it was, you know, Odrisimer or Despaigne a few years ago, or Adrian Morahone now, or, you know, I probably shouldn't have mentioned him, but we'll get to him in a minute. But anybody at this point would have been celebrated. But the fact that it was Joe Musgrove, and, you know, he spent his whole life, you know, in East County until he became a big leaguer, and his family's still there, it just makes it even more special.
He's lived in Del Mar, Solana Beach, Encinitas, Carlsbad, Bankers Hill. He loves San Diego. He'll rent a place every year. He's now living downtown for the first time, and he's going to buy a house on the coast. And you know what? You're right about all those other guys. If it were any of those other guys, there wouldn't be a mural on a local high school going up as we speak.
Right.
So that's pretty darn cool that that's going to be at Grossmont High. And it's a fantastic story. And here's the great thing. Rather than it being a distraction, right? Mm-hmm. If they've thrown a no-hitter in 48 of their, or what is it now, 46 of their 53 seasons, the next night they would have got blown out, okay? Because anything can happen, and the worst team can get a no-hitter. This team came back, had a comeback win the next day and a shutout win the next day. They had two shutouts in this series against the Rangers. Again, not a good team, but what did we talk about last week? You go on the road and you beat good teams and you beat them good. Maybe you don't sweep them because that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But you go there, you take two or three, you come here, you take three or four. They're one up on that now. They're 3-0 on this trip. So I just thought that had a little bit of everything. You still got to wonder. I think they're hitting like maybe less than 200 now with runners in scoring position. But hey, on the other hand, they're pitching lights out. And, you know, the defense certainly, it couldn't have gotten any worse than the homestand, you would hope. It was a little bit better. I expect an error to be coming on Ha-Sung Kim at any moment from MLB when they review the only hit that Craig Stammen gave up.
Right.
Nice effort by Craig Stammen in the bullpen yesterday. We have to talk about Adrian Morahone. It doesn't look good. I don't have any further. I was traveling today. I've sent out some texts. I don't have anything, but I tell you, it was as if he knew when he walked off. And you rarely get a forearm elbow strain and not have the dreaded news.
Right.
I wouldn't say that it's for sure that they're going to announce that today. How often do we hear? We'll see. We'll go down the road and maybe, it might be a couple days before we know. But what we do know is that Adrian Morahone will not be starting later this week, almost certainly. And Jay, I know you've read my stuff that's kind of setting up the possibilities. What do you think is most likely? We hear Darvish and Snell are going to go. Musgrove is supposed to go Wednesday. They might give him an extra time. Paddock is supposed to go Thursday. Complicating things, you want Darvish and Snell to remain on their regular 4 days rest because they're going to pitch Saturday and Sunday. The Dodgers have lined up Bueller, Kershaw, and Bauer. So the Dodgers are taking this series big.
Right.
So, it's interesting. Like, what do you think is going to happen with Dinelson Lamet coming back?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because the obvious thing to do if they weren't playing the Dodgers this week is you pitch Lamet on Wednesday. I think giving Musgrove an extra day is almost a no-brainer to do. I mean, he obviously went as far into the tank as he could go on Friday night, 112 pitches, which was a career high. And he did it in his second start of the season.
And he did it throwing a lot of this, all right?
Yeah.
A lot of breaking pitches.
And just mentally, I mean, just everything about it. If you can give Joe Musgrove another day, to me, you've got to do it. So the ideal thing would be, okay, you throw Lamet on Wednesday, you throw Musgrove on Thursday, and guess who that means starting the Dodger series? It's Chris Paddock. Do they want Chris Paddock to start against the Dodgers at this point?
I was making kind of, you kind, say it. Yep.
Kind of hard to believe. And again, it's just, I mean, the one thing that argues in favor of doing that is it's one game. You're playing 162. Mm-hmm. You're playing 19 mm-hmm. against the Dodgers. This is one game. If you lose 10-0, whatever, you lost the game. It's one game. But at the same time, if they're trying to get Chris Paddock to sort of build confidence in himself and for the team to have confidence in Chris Paddock. Do you want to throw him against the Dodgers? But what's the alternative? You know, you've got Ryan Weathers,
2 days for Joe Musgrove.
Two days for Joe Musgrove. I mean, I guess that's not unheard of. And then you could throw Lamet Wednesday. And I don't know that, I've seen people say, throw Lamet on Friday against the Dodgers. I don't think I want Lamet throwing his first game of the season in that sort of, again, it's one game, but it's going to be
jacked up enough.
Right. It's going to feel like a whole lot more than one game
right.
to someone like Lamet. So I would rather see him against the Pirates. You could keep Paddock on Thursday. against Pittsburgh and throw Musgrove on Friday, man, what a reception he would get on Friday night at Petco.
And I think he can handle it. And if he's been awesome. The guy is not allowed to run. Let's remember, he went.
Well, yeah, it was funny. You said, oh, he might not develop into the ace kind of thing. And I'm thinking, well, at this point, he still hasn't given up a run. So he's kind of on his way. But yeah, it's a little bit far-fetched to say that he's not going to give up a run start after start after start. But I hadn't thought of that, but I don't think that's a bad plan to give Musgrove, 2 days. I mean, go back to college pitchers usually only pitch once a week. So why not do that? So I don't know that he would lobby for this, but in terms of pitching in Pittsburgh, but he only pitched there for a couple of years. I can't imagine that he has, some great emotional attachment to.
I think Joe Musgrove gets great emotional attachments to places, but you're right. It was just 2 years. I do think that he is very, very fond of Pittsburgh, and that would be great. His mom and his sister are here or will be here. And but they can still go out to all their little haunts and have family time. And they get to see him pitch in San Diego now. And certainly the Padres aren't going to do their schedule around that. But yeah, that would take away one of the little storylines here. I'm pretty sure he was part of the Cole Hamels trade, right? The Garrett Cole. Cole Hamels. I'm already thinking about who's going to be pitching for the Padres in June. Garrett Cole. He'd be coming back. The latest of the pitchers the Pirates sent away that is really good.
Right.
So hey, the Padres are going to we'll talk about that later, who they're going to face. Who cares?
Well,
I want to make a point about it.
Right. And I think, the idea of waiting, because the other alternatives for Friday, if you're going to do this on Friday, if Musgrove's going to pitch in Pittsburgh, the alternatives are basically Paddock, Weathers, Gore. I don't know if any of those are particularly good alternatives at this point. I mean, do you want Mackenzie Gore's first start to be in that situation?
I don't care if the 90 pitches he threw in the alternate site game a few days ago were all strikes.
Right.
And he had 47 swings and misses. You don't start him against the Dodgers. You're setting him up for failure. I don't care if he's going to be Sandy Koufax. And the way that they talk, he very well might be, but you don't do that. And you've made all great points about the pros and the cons there. To me, the one that makes the most sense, they were on a plane by the time I realized what, Jace Tingler had said. Jace Tingler specifically said one day in terms of pushing Musgrove back. Let me tell you something. Other than being very careful not to say very much of anything, Jace doesn't really pay attention to his wording. So it wasn't like one day was literal, I don't think, because that would, again, be counter to him not saying anything specific. So it's like AJ Preller always says, a few weeks. That could be anywhere from 3 days to 7 months when AJ Preller says a few weeks. So I think it makes the most sense is Musgrove on Friday.
I don't want to say negative, but one thing I just thought of about that is, are you then placing too much importance on that series by saying, okay, we're going to push Joe Musgrove back another day just so he can face the Dodgers, as opposed to sort of sticking with our plan? Now you're setting yourself up where, okay, what if things don't go well this weekend against the Dodgers? Now you're like, oh my gosh, this was such a big series. We flopped. Now what are we going to do?
Completely so, legitimate. Except I don't think they can think that way. You know what I mean? And the other thing that they'll say, and we'll all go, okay, sure, is it has nothing to do with the Dodgers. They just thought it was good to give Joe a couple extra days. So the other thing is, who's going to play against the Dodgers? I think it's really looking like Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to play. And Jay, I have gotten from a couple people the question that you posed in our last Hot Lava on Friday before the Texas series is, does it help Fernando Tatis Jr., even if he could play when he's eligible to come off the injured list on Friday, does it help him to get any more rest? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's going to get, 20 more days or 10 more days, he's going to build up this strength, and it's going to be less likely that that left shoulder pops out in the future. Nope. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And they'll have him back in the lineup on Friday. Certainly by everything he's done, and he was hitting bombs yesterday in batting practice, it looks like he will. The only thing I haven't seen him do, I've seen him change his follow through, which doesn't look like it really changes his swing that much. I haven't seen him backhand balls, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that could, you know, obviously it happened in spring training.
Right.
But I think that there are things they can work around. Maybe they don't do the Manny shift as much anymore, where they put Tatis over there on an island, you know, mm-hmm. by himself. Maybe I have seen them working specifically on how he approaches balls coming in on the infield. So, because mm-hmm. it's that left glove, you know, shoulder, and they have to be careful of that. So, you know, one of the things that'll be interesting, far more interesting than when he comes back, as important as that is how he plays and how long he plays.
Well, and I think it's easy to sit there, even in the workouts, and say, okay, try to circle a ball this way, try to do this, try to do that. Mm-hmm. He gets in the game and, sure. you know, Justin Turner hits a line drive to his right.
Yep.
Tatis has played this game for a while. His instinct is going to be, I got to dive and get this ball.
Yep.
And I just don't see how you can take that away. And that's why I think it'll be great to have him back. And, you know, obviously everyone across baseball, not just here, but everyone across baseball hopes when he does come back that he's able to keep playing for the rest of the season. But mm-hmm. he's not going to be able to play the whole season without diving for balls, or, you know, backhanding balls, or being involved in potential collisions at second base or home plate or wherever. So at that point, but it's going to be like anything else, you know, guys can get hurt on any play. I mean, look at yesterday's game. Adrian Morejon leaves after three batters. I mean, nobody saw that coming, you know, until it happened. So somebody can get hurt on any play. Somebody can play 162 games and not get hurt. We're not going to know. But I don't think it's realistic to think that Tatis is going to be able to change all these things about his game, because at some point instinct is going to take over and he's going to play the way that he plays,
especially him. So because absolutely yeah. absolutely. So
that's what makes him him. I mean, that's what we've talked about before. I mean, you can't take Fernando Tatis out of Fernando Tatis. That's just not, it's just not feasible.
So but whatever, it's good for them that they're doing this. They'll have him back, and if that's 140 games, then everyone is happy. I even think their opponents are happy. You want Fernando Tatis Jr. on the field.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's 100 games, if it's 50, we'll see. That's the story of the season, or this one of the storylines of the season.
So. Yeah, there's just no way to know. And another storyline, you touched on this briefly. I think you had a quote from Manny this morning about how everything was great this weekend. And, you know, the offense did this, and the offense was pretty crappy, actually.
Middle game.
I mean, the middle game was very good. Yesterday, a couple solo home runs. But if I'm remembering my math right, I think they were 3-for-22 with runners in scoring position. They're now 8-for-46 in their last 7 games, I think it is, with runners in scoring position. They're not getting the hits. And again, it's 1 week and everything, but they're not getting the hits in key situations, at least in those situations right now. I mean, they're getting a couple of key home runs, obviously. And you know, it was great to see Trent Grisham back. And you see what the team missed by not having Grisham. You know, Tommy Pham is a big worry at this point. It's 1 week. You don't, a little more than a week, I guess. You don't want to panic too much. He deserves the benefit of the doubt. But at some point, that's a guy that's going to have to produce. And it should be noted, Yrieksen Profar, I believe the last 4 games started at 4 different positions.
Yes, he has.
And that's someone even said that's why we brought him back.
And played
exactly
well.
Exactly the kind of guy that you need. That's what Chris Taylor does for the Dodgers. He starts left field, center field, second base, first, shortstop. I think he plays all those positions. That's the kind of guy that you need on a winning team, is a guy who can play all those positions. And Profar right now is do it at a high level. I mean, I think Jorge Mateo can play all those positions as well, but we haven't seen Mateo produce at a big league level the way that we've seen Profar.
Profar played left field in the last game of the homestand, started in right field, started at first base during the no-hitter, right field on Saturday, and at second base, his old haunt, where he had some yips, and he played excellent yesterday there.
Yeah.
You great. I mean, that would have, we would have been remiss to not bring that up. And I did write about it yesterday and hope to talk to Jurickson today about it. Just, you know, I think that's fascinating. The preparation and the ability to do that at a high level, like you said.
Well, it's funny because you always hear about the bullpen guys need to know their roles. Well, Profar just had four different roles in four different games. So he managed okay. I think all these guys can adjust to whatever their role. I mean, nobody's asking Mark Melancon to start games, but you know, if Emilio Pagan has to pitch the sixth inning one game instead of the eighth inning, I don't think that's asking too much. And we should mention the bullpen has been unbelievable so far. I mean, Stammen had a rough outing once. He was tremendous yesterday. You know, Tim Hill gave up the couple home runs in the opener. Other than that, he's been great. And I'm not sure anybody else has given up a run.
Nobody else. Well, Ryan Weathers.
Well, Ryan Weathers gave up the one home run the other night. But, you know, Melancon, I think, has given up, what, one base runner in six games?
I think that is it. That's what's kept him from being perfect, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
They've stranded all five inherited runners. They have, I believe it's a 0.84 ERA, which is best in the game. They've given up a few more runs than that. Obviously, Tim Hill was the loser in extras. Pretty darn impressive. Austin Adams, what he did yesterday, that guy can be a little wild. He comes in. That is not a soft landing spot that, I don't care what they say, you want to give a pitcher his first time back. It almost got away from him, and then he made some really good pitches to get out of that. That guy could end up being somebody where, you know, you're like, that was a great trade. If Austin Nola is who they think he is, and then you also got Austin Adams, it was a, you know, it'll make us miss Austin Hedges a little bit that last note.
Some of us.
So that's about it for the important stuff. They're about to face the Pirates. As Craig Stammen acknowledged yesterday, these are big league clubs, but they're clubs you're supposed to go in and, as he said, take care of business against. So, again, you're a fan of the Padres now. You're expecting your team to take three or four from this team. Trevor Cahill, former Padre, I believe 2017. Vista High School kid starting for them tonight. He's the most experienced of their starters.
Right.
Tyler Anderson, he's made some starts in this league. Chad Kuhl has made some starts. But they're the kind of pitchers the Padres used to have. You know? They can go and have a nice night tonight. Absolutely. Yeah. Any one of them. But it's not you, Darvish, and Blake Snell who are starting the first two games here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Cahill, I think, was in the Matt Strom, was one of the guys in the Matt Strom deal.
Cahill's traded quite a bit. I think he's like 11 years, and he's like on 12 teams or something. Yeah.
Right. And their best player, Hayes, is out, I think, at least the first couple of games of this series. I'm not sure if he's going to be back Wednesday or Thursday. But, this is, like we talked about before, this is the kind of road trip you need to win at least five games. Now that they've swept the Rangers, you look at it and say, okay, now they should win at least six games. And, we'll see what happens. And I know, you know, everyone's looking forward to the weekend, but I think the Padres are smart enough and have enough veterans on this team to know, you know, they've got four games to play before the weekend. I know you'll enjoy it. I know that Pittsburgh's a great, it's a great city to visit. It's a great ballpark to visit, although the press box is a little bit high up there at the top of the stadium, but
that gives you the view of one of the great view cities in America.
So. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's real nice. All right. So this season is unfolding about like we expected, 10 games in. So it's too early to say this, but I just am going to, because I want to point it out. The Padres are on pace for 112 wins. That'd be a really good season. They'd finish 16 games behind the Dodgers if they were to continue at this pace at 128 wins. But
hey, whatever. You know, it's early, Kevin. It's early. But yeah, I mean, both teams are doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to beat the teams they've played leading into the. And I think the Dodgers are in the same position this week with three more against the Rockies. Both teams had pretty soft schedules for the first 2 weeks. Although the A's. We thought the A's would be better. The Nationals obviously have had some health issues, so the Dodgers caught a couple breaks there. But still, both teams thought they would be off to good starts, needed to be off to good starts. And so far, that's exactly what happened. And
we'll, it should be. Remember when we were doing these hot lavas and we're going in and we're just like trying to get geared up about it. And we knew it really didn't matter. And, you know, the Padres were the team that they were basically the team we're talking about now with the Pirates. There will be stretches where the Padres have a full homestand against good teams or a full road trip against good teams. But for the most part, you know, it should be for the Dodgers and Padres if they're as good as we think they are and they think they are. It should be winning road trips, you know. It should be winning homestands. How about the Giants right now? Talking about it's early. They're right there behind the Padres after taking two or three from them. So, yeah, I'm just excited about this season unfolding and us getting to the point where we are actually looking at things and going, it's not early. And So, all right. Hey, four against the Pirates coming up. And then the Dodgers. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
On the weekend. Thanks.